and welcome to Nourish Your Biblical Roots. I'm Yael Eckstein, President and CEO of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, and we are broadcasting live from Dallas at the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And during our time here, we'll be talking to special guests on a variety of topics, especially as they relate to Israel and the work of the fellowship. And today, I am so honored to welcome to the podcast the online opinion editor of The Washington Times, the host of the Bold and Blunt podcast, and the author of several books, a veteran of the U.S. military and an American and Christian friend of Israel. Cheryl Chumley, welcome to Nourish Your Biblical Roots.
Oh, it's so great to be with you. It's nice to see you again, too.
Thank you so much. It's always wonderful to hear what you're up to, hear your thoughts. You are one of these wise leaders, and I think everyone should follow what you're thinking, your discussions that you're having, because they are so impactful when it comes to what's happening in America and Israel, when it comes to faith and everything that's relevant today. So I want to start off by asking you a bit about your own relationship to Israel as an American and as a Christian.
So I've been to Israel twice. Last year, as you know, and then the year before. So I saw it first during peacetime, and then second during wartime. And I gotta say, I have never been a place where I felt like I was going home. Wow. For some reason, it just, my heart is still with Israel. And, you know, I'm watching the news events as they unfold, what's going on with Gaza, Hamas, and the political world. And it's just, you know, my heart is with Israel.
Was it scary for you thinking about going to Israel? But even before the war, I know a lot of Americans imagine Israel as being a scary place to go, and definitely after October 7th. What were you thinking before you went? And did you have a different experience than what you anticipated?
In peacetime, I was excited to go because I wanted to experience the Christian biblical type of journey there. In wartime, I was anxious to go because I wanted to get to the truth. It wasn't out of fear. It was watching as the media reported lie after lie after lie, and suddenly Israel was the aggressor and Hamas the victim, and it made me angry, and I wanted to go there and report the truth.
Wow, that's incredible. To want to experience it with your own eyes, to
yes.
learn it with your own ears, and to see what's really happening on the ground in Israel, not to rely on mainstream media that so often is against Israel no matter what Israel does. So I'm wondering, what did you see on the ground when you went to explore post-October 7th Israel's story? What did you see?
So I went alone. My newspaper paid for me to go. So I did everything. I set up everything pretty much working through groups to arrange interviews, but it wasn't part of a group tour. And one of the most saddening things I saw was the Nova, the festival field, where they had, you know, just row after row of the faces who were killed and abducted and tortured. And it was like September 11th for Israel. And I had the same feeling when I visited the Pentagon after September 11th here. I had the same feeling as when I visited the music festival field there.
It's a great way to explain it for Americans that October 7th was Israel's September 11th. It's something that everyone in the entire country will remember exactly where they were standing when they heard first about the atrocities of October 7th. Everyone will feel that fear in their bodies for the rest of their lives. And it's something that the country will never be the same after. Still today, I have an 18-year-old daughter who's about to go to the Israeli army. And I told her about I told her about 9/11. And it's so hard for me to comprehend that she didn't experience that. And I was telling her it was America's October 7th, and America realized who the enemies are and that you have to defend yourself. Otherwise, it will be the terrorists who are getting the last word.
Yep.
Do you think that there's a global threat right now against Israel and America and Christians and Jews? I know just a few days ago there were 70 Christians beheaded in Congo by Islamic extremists. Do you think this is a global initiative of Islamic extremists to target Jews and Christians, America and Israel? Or do you think this is really just an Israel story?
Oh, it's definitely not just an Israel story. And I, you know, any Christian who thinks that is missing the point, a very big truth about the Bible. You know, God says, those who bless Israel, I will bless. Those who curse Israel, I will curse. And so, you know, as a Christian, that's where I stand with Israel. And I think that's where a lot in the Christian community stand with Israel. And so what happens to Israel, it matters to America. And, you know, if you look at Israel from a biblical standpoint, that's God's chosen. So you have to pay attention to what's going on there.
Wow. So as a Christian, what do you see going on in Israel that gives a message to us to understand where the world is at right now?
That evil is real, first and foremost, and that the Jewish people, and I saw this up close and personal, are amazingly resilient. And I heard that word over and over again, and I didn't truly understand what it meant until I associated with Jewish people in Israel. You know, people who had family members who were abducted, who were still being held captive in Gaza, and yet they would get up and go about their work day, and they would do it with a smile on their face and talk about their tragedies, but not wallow in as a victim. And so it was just amazing to me how the Jewish people, how they go about their lives that way.
I love that you use the word not being a victim, because it's something I speak about often. I think the secret to the Jewish people's success of being 0.2% of the global population and yet having such a huge percentage of the Nobel Peace Prizes and the innovations when it comes to life-saving technology and medical technology and agriculture, I think the secret is really not being a victim. And what I've seen in Israel also has confirmed that. The resilience is seen everywhere you go in Israel. I remember being in the bomb shelters one day with my children three different times. And after each time, after each rocket that would fall or explode overhead, and we were able after 10 minutes to exit our shelter after the rocket fell, each time I remember one of my kids saying, now can we go out to ice cream? Or now can we go for a walk? Or now can we go get pizza? And I realized that for them, this was their yearning and desire and commitment to hold on to life. Being in the bomb shelter when rockets explode overhead cannot be the end of the story. We need to come out of the shelter and do something to celebrate and mark life. So that resilience that you tap into is very real. And thank you for seeing that.
It's inspirational, really.
What do you think Americans should know about Israel that they don't know?
That Israel, a lot of people I spoke with in Israel said they felt alone, and that just hearing from someone from another country that we care, we stand with you, we're on your side, was something that mattered, and it wasn't trite. And so I think Israel, from what I saw in my short time there, a lot of people said to me that they were so happy to hear Americans, Christians in America, and outside of the Christian faith in America, were standing strong with Israel because it gave them strength and courage. So I think Americans tend to downplay that, and it just seems so important to the people I spoke with in Israel.
Incredible. And I think it's so spot on that when we look at the world, it seems like everyone's against us. We see what's happening in the UN, one after another, turning against Israel and calling Israel aggressors and saying that Israel's bad. We see the EU, we see the Arab Union, and we see the global voice on the streets of the younger generation standing behind terrorists and against Israel. And I'm wondering, do you think that represents the majority, or does it represent the loudest?
It represents the loudest and the evil element, right? And the media follows down that trail, though. The media, first off, because they want the ratings, but a lot in the media sympathize with the terrorists because they look at the terror as being rooted in a lack of job opportunity or a lack of access to land that they think is rightly belonging to Palestinians. And so a lot of it is just borne by a media and a media hysteria, but I don't think it represents the majority, thankfully.
That's very encouraging. And we need more voices like you in the media who are spreading truth, who's going boots on the ground to explore situations, understand situations, ask the right question, and then to spread it to the masses. So I encourage everyone to listen to the podcast of Cheryl, Bold and Blunt. Go check it out. And of course, to read the opinion, all the different opinion articles on Washington Times, which Cheryl is the online opinion editor. So thank you for spreading the truth. Thanks. And justice. Thank you for being that voice for millions in the silenced majority who don't have a voice. You represent so many, and you're giving so much strength to Americans and Israelis, to Jews and Christians, and so many others. May God bless you and everything you do.
That's very kind. Thank you.
Thanks.